Hello, hello, hello. I am your Anthony Perowski, hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And welcome to In Yo Mouth.
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood. To lick it right, lick it good, show you how to
hug. Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets. So open wide, honey. I'm coming.
In Yo Mouth.
I've got the goosebumps.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey there and welcome back, folks. Once again, I am your hostess with the mostest, Munoz. And I'm telling you, y'all, it's the holidays are here. Halloween is this weekend. Soon enough, we're going to blink and it's going to be Thanksgiving. And then all of a sudden, we're all going to be like, should old acquaintance be forgot? And then we're back in the cycle. Why is time going so fast? I don't like this space and time continuum, even if that's what it's called, because, you know, time is just moving so, so fast. It's like 2 weeks since my episode of Easy Bake Battle with Anthony premiered. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, head over to your Netflix and look up Easy Bake Battle and you could see yours truly kill it, or maybe not kill it. I don't know. NoSpoilers.com. Ooh, it's the week before Halloween and I hear some ghosts in the studio. But before I get to my ghostly guest here, I need to shout out Amazon Music, because Amazon Music has been showing me all the love this for quite some time now. And I'm under Hidden Gems. I don't know if that's like Halloween specific, you know, hidden gems and spooky things and or whatnot. But I have to shout them out. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much to Amazon Music for showing me all the love. So if you're not listening via Amazon Music and your devices, maybe you should turn me on while you're in the shower or like, you know, while you're having sexy time. Just be like, hey, Miss Thing, just put on In Your Mouth with Michael Munoz. Other than that, you all have been showing me all the love out there, and I am exhausted, blessed, and highly favored from all these food events that have been nonstop since that are show-related and not show-related. I don't know what's going on, but I am blessed and tired. Other than that, I am really, really excited for today's guest. So without further ado, please help me welcome the one, the only, my Easy Bake Battle sister, Anna Sanga Howell. Say hi.
Hi.
How are you, my love?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. Now, In Your Mouth listeners, obviously we don't record this on release day because that would be insane because I have to edit things. So this is obviously pre-recorded a few days before because I like to keep things current. So we are recording on a beautiful Sunday morning here, but it smells like, I think there's a festival happening out here in Times Square. And In Your Mouth listeners, we are both in New York. Anna's in Brooklyn. I'm here, obviously, yeah, in my 120 square feet in Times Square. But I think one of those food festivals is happening outside.
Wow.
Because I just got a big whiff of like, it smells like maple syrup and like,
ooh,
it smells like brunch. And
nice.
I don't know why.
Oh, well, that sounds lovely.
I mean, did you Uber eat something to me?
No. Because
a bitch is hungry. That's happened before.
Really?
Chef Vaselli, I think it was Chef Vaselli, when she was on the podcast many moons ago, we started recording and she surprised me. My doorbell, my buzzer rang.
No way.
And it was a hot baked stuffed French toast loaf.
Wow,
it was
so nice.
Hot. She sent it to me. Uber Eats it somehow from like Long Island or wherever she was.
Wow.
I was floored.
That's pretty amazing.
Floored. Isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I'm like, sorry.
Sorry, girl, but not sorry. Well, first and foremost, thank you so much for giving me of your time today. I am so excited to be here with you, to connect
Same.
With you, because we are connected in a very, very special way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, although we didn't meet on that journey, mm-hmm, we are connected in a very, very special way. But before we get anywhere, Anna, I got to do what I got to do.
Yeah,
and in the grand tradition of In Your Mouth, on this Wednesday, release day, October 26th, I need to wish you Happy National Pumpkin Day.
Yay. I didn't even know that was a thing, but...
There's a national food day for everything, and they usually don't make sense. And so this one, oddly enough, makes sense. So thank you to Foodimentary for making it National Pumpkin Day. Do we like pumpkin? Do we eat pumpkin? Are we carving pumpkins? What are we doing?
I like pumpkin. I actually bought a pumpkin yesterday, and I'm not going to carve it, but I'll make like some kind of dish with it. And then I bought pumpkin muffin mix. So I'm all about it. Also, I don't know if I told you, but my birthday is on Halloween. So I'm a Halloween
girl. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. This is the birthday episode.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's a good week.
I know. I used to have a friend that also had a Halloween birthday.
Oh, yeah?
And she goes all out still. I mean, I guess we're still friends. We didn't have a falling out. We just live in different places. And like, we've kind of, you know, we keep in touch
happens,
here and there.
Yeah.
But she goes all out. Do you go all out for your Halloween birthday?
I have. Like, this year I won't because I'm recovering. And we can talk about that later. But like last year I dressed up with my wife as old ladies. And yeah, we went out for lunch. So that was really nice.
So every year for the past four or five, except for during the pandemic, obviously, one of my besties and I go down to up to Provincetown, mm-hmm, Massachusetts, and for Spooky Bear.
Ooh, and what's that?
And it's a big gay party that,
ooh,
you know,
okay,
that's everyone dresses, the gays dress up and whatnot. And last year we did Lucy and Ethel. I forced them to do Lucy and Ethel.
Oh my God, that's so
for
funny.
For T-Dance. And we were a hit.
Wow.
And I can't wait. I'm not going to reveal what we're doing this year, but it's also epic.
Wow, very curious.
On this National Pumpkin Day. Well, Anna, you're also in luck because... it's a two-day celebration, and I need to also wish you Happy National Mincemeat Day.
What?
Mince.
That's weird. Well, I do use a lot of mincemeat in my cooking, so yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Yeah, it's just like it's easy to use. And
wait. Are you actually talking like ground meat?
Yeah.
Or actual mince meat? Because mince meat isn't meat.
Oh, sorry, I meant ground meat.
Yeah. So this is this is a very, very common, like, you know, misconception about mincemeat, because there's meat in the word, but there's actually no meat in it. Mincemeat is a mixture of chopped dried fruit, distilled spirits and spices, and often beet suet. Beet suet, S-U-E-T, not beet sweat, S-W-E-A-T.
Oh, interesting.
Right? Okay. So it's usually used as a pie or pastry filling, right? It's very English, you know, mincemeat pies and things like that. And shout out to the late Angela Lansbury, right, of Sweeney Todd fame, because that was a thing. How about some pie, sir? You know?
Oh my gosh.
So obviously you've never had, have you ever had a mincemeat pie? I guess not, right?
So I used to live in Australia. And they do a lot of, like, I guess it's like beef pies where they like stuff some beef in like a crust. Yeah. So
Still not mincemeat. Right.
Yeah.
It's not mincemeat. I don't know who comes up. I guess it's seasonal, so it makes sense for this day, because it's like, you know, distilled liquor, dried fruits, nuts. It's that whole like seasonal vibe, you know?
Yeah, like, I guess so.
Well, you know, witchy woman, all of that. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Mm-hmm. No matter what we celebrate today, because I think we're here for both of these things, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you celebrate National Pumpkin Day, National Mincemeat Day, or, you know, National Dressing Up and Not Remembering What You... you know, or I don't know. Like, we're here just to celebrate, because it's a party for sure. We celebrate you on this day. And moving right along into this day in gay history, it's another celebration, Anna. Did you know that on October 26, 1996, during a conference for the American Academy of Pediatrics in Boston, activists from the Intersex Society of North America and Transsexual Menace began the first ever protest of its kind.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that till today either. Mm. The group held signs with messages like "Hermaphrodites with Attitude" written on them, and marked the first official demonstration by intersex people in North America. The event was also the inspiration for Intersex Awareness Day, celebrated on October 26th every year.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, so happy National Intersex Awareness Day.
Yes, for sure.
Right? Shout out to our intersex brothers, sisters, and everybody out there, you know?
Yeah.
What a great day.
Like, yeah, for sure.
We celebrate the awareness. We celebrate you on this day. And I didn't know that. And this is kind of why I do that.
To
keep our history alive.
Yes.
You know?
Totally necessary. Yeah.
And to celebrate. And like I said to Anna before we started recording this podcast, I loved Miss Jane Velez Mitchell of last week. But Miss Jane Velez Mitchell and her passion took us to the news and some serious places. And, you know, we often don't get heavy on this podcast, right? Like, we have twinges of, like, heavy, but, like, I need the juxtaposing, like, we need a little fun, because although Jane Velez Mitchell was epic and iconic last week, I was like, we're going to keep it light this week as the flip side, you know, to that. So I love that we're celebrating National Intersex Awareness Day, National Pumpkin Day, National Mincemeat Day, National Costume Day, National Easy Bake Battle Day. We're celebrating it all today.
You just made it a holiday.
Amen to that, sister. But I want to get to the getting on and celebrate you. In Your Mouth listeners, if you didn't know, and you're about to know, Anna Sanga Howell is the woman behind the food blog, The Lipstick Chef. And you also may have seen her on a recent episode of a top 10 Netflix show called Easy Bake Battle, hosted by the one and only Anthony Perowski of Queer Eye fame. Anna is a self-described beauty marketer by day and home cook by night. She is a third culture kid who grew up in Japan and Australia with a lot of food influences around her. Most of those influences came from being around both her brother and her mother, who are trained chefs, or with her Australian uncle, who was also a seasoned chef that she lived with throughout her high school days. Yeah. I'm just so excited to have you here. And I think we should start in a place of the show, and this episode, In Your Mouth, listeners, is not another like all Easy Bake Battle show. We explored my journey on that show, and there's a lot of that going around on Instagram that you can watch. And I just did an Instagram live. Giselle's doing Instagram lives. You can watch the show. But I really am here to celebrate the person. But I really do think we need to start with, I got to meet 9 of the contestants, but Anna wasn't one of them. Mm-hmm. And although production behind the scenes and the PR people behind the scenes are doing a great job of, giving us stuff to promote and whatnot, they haven't really connected us. So no. we have all found each other,
yes, exactly,
in very special ways. And I was really touched by watching Anna on the television.
Thank you.
I reached out to Anna, and then because of whatever's happening in Anna's life, she got back like a week or so later.
Yeah.
Brooklyn is coming out. And I was so happy because for a minute I was like, oh, maybe she's just not on the gram that much, or I don't know what's happening, or maybe she just doesn't see me because she doesn't follow me, because that's a thing too.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm so happy that we finally connected, because it's been hard with some people to
kind of
connect. Or people are in their own feelings about whatever, because this journey, as I explained on my episode, is really really messes with your head a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy that we finally just connected, and you and your story, and they showed more of your LGBTQ journey than they did of mine. So it's interesting to see that edit.
Yeah.
Right. But I think we were there with the same mission.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was a representation matters mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
So that's why I was so happy to connect. And then on top of that, on this podcast, we talk a lot about, which I'm coming to realize a lot now, is that third culture cuisine, that is a big thing that people aren't really talking about. Like, I talked about it with Chef John Kung. I talked about it recently with from Omsom, Kim Pham talked about it with her.
Cool.
It's something that I didn't realize that I'm kind of doing as well,
right?
I guess, in that sense, being Puerto Rican. But then there's that mind thing of does it count because Puerto Rico is part of America, but it's still a culture, and
you can
see where I'm going with that. And I'd like to start with love of food and where that comes from. Obviously, I said it comes from your mom and your brother and your uncle.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to dive more into that and story a little.
Of course. Yeah. So I grew up in Japan, and then I moved to the U.S. How many years ago? Probably 5 years ago, maybe. I know I sound kind of completely American, but it's just because I've had an international upbringing. But yeah, basically, I grew up around, as you mentioned, chefs. So my mom is a chef, and she personally cooks for people. My brother was a chef, and then I lived with my uncle in Australia when I was really young, and he was also a chef. So just having a lot of food influences around me. I really didn't start cooking until I actually started working. So until I was 22, I was kind of piggybacking off of my mom and my brother and like eating everything they make, but not making anything on my own. And then I was forced to live by myself because I had to like move to another city. And yeah, food kind of became this thing that connected me to other people. And it was just really nice because I could cook something and then have people over. And then, you know, we could just like have a little kiki. So
yeah, I love that. I love that. And I love that you've had like this multicultural experience from like Japan to Australia. Are there a lot of those influences as well in your cooking, you know, and then moving here, right? Because yeah. the food is all over the place
yeah,
here.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially depending on where you live. We are fortunate enough to live in a food mecca here in New York City.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. I think it's definitely been influenced by the fact that I live here. You know, like for instance, I'm not able to get certain vegetables or certain ingredients unless like I go out to like some Japanese store, like in the city or something. So that makes it a little bit hard. And I've kind of learned to substitute or, you know, make use of things that are readily available that might not be in sort of like the traditional sense, like be used in a Japanese recipe.
Yeah. Would you say that you're the one who cooks most at home or does your wife,
correct? My wife, yeah.
Your wife, stunning, by the way.
Thank you.
If you haven't seen the photos, you know where to find them on Netflix, Easy Bake Battle, or we'll hand out all the socials later as well.
Thank you.
But are you the main cook? Do you cook together? Do you?
Yeah, I would say I'm the main cook, but my wife also cooks a lot. She's really good at like making curries and stuff.
Delicious.
She has, like, a West Indian upbringing. So yeah, we kind of each do our thing and we kind of each contribute, I guess.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. What made you want to start the Lipstick Chef then?
So it was actually during quarantine and, you know, like you were here during quarantine, right? It's just like, it was just like depressing and everyone was like, oh my God.
I live in 120 square feet.
I can't believe it.
And I got sick. We shut down on March 16th and I got sick March 17th. I
think
because we shut down on a Monday. Tuesday, I got sick, and I was sick for 5 weeks.
What? 5 weeks?
5 weeks. That's crazy. I did not leave this 120 square feet for almost 3 months.
No way. So
you want to talk miserable. And you know what?
Yeah.
Blessed and highly favored that I made it through, right? It was miserable, but obviously I'm not saying that my experience was more miserable than anybody else's. We understand that people passed away and people are still having long effects.
Yeah.
I'm still having a little bit of a vision issue that the doctor thinks is a long COVID effect.
Mm, gotcha. I'm so sorry to hear that.
You know, I mean, it was an experience and it's, and I'm here to tell the story, and I am fortunate enough to have, you know, made it through. But like quarantine was next level for all of us.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, it was crazy.
But a lot of people started cooking like you did and the Lipstick Chef.
Yeah. So I started cooking and, you know, it was just fun, like interacting with people over Instagram and, you know, so it just kind of became a thing.
Yeah. So many people got famous off of that. And I don't know about you, but I think maybe it's because I got sick or something. But I don't necessarily, if I've ever admitted this out loud, but I think that perhaps with the combination of being sick and then the depression and anxiety that so many people who weren't doing this food thing, because I'm a long time in this food game, got really famous very quickly from this.
Yeah.
And like, there's a little twinge of like, oh, regret in me that I missed that moment and a little bit of like, envy, jealousy.
Yeah. If
I, you know,
yeah,
and I'm,
yeah.
I am not too proud to admit that, to be like, you know, I've been doing this a long time and I'm where I am, but you did this for 2 seconds and look where you are.
Right, right.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah, yeah.
But like, okay. I support everyone. I am not mad at nobody, but, but I am grown enough to admit and to realize like what these feelings are and like,
yeah,
and
yeah.
do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a big thing. Definitely.
It really is a big thing. Yeah. And when did this show come about for you?
So,
and by this show, obviously, I mean the Easy Bake Oven.
Yeah. So I don't remember exactly when, but they reached out to me during quarantine and then I had the audition. And I think that process was like,
long.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, more than long. A year ago. Yeah. I mean, we filmed like a year ago. So
we filmed like almost a year ago.
Yeah.
Like it's a month under a year ago.
Yeah, yeah. Which is crazy. But
yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that process was long for me. And because I've been in this food media game for a long time, they, a lot of times, and I don't want this to sound like, oh my God, I'm so special. But like, but because I've been in the game for a long time in very many different ways, the casting people, I'm on their like radar. So like every casting season, they kind of, somebody reaches out here or there.
Right.
And this was just right time, right place, I guess. You know?
Wow.
Right
yeah.
time, right place. I love the story. And I loved the fact that, you know, you were on a Representation Matters journey. I was on a Representation Matters journey, although it got cut for different reasons, which I'm not upset about. We'll talk about like if we would change anything later.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very happy with everything that like happened. No spoilers. But why is it important? Why was it important for you to have that be part of your journey coming into this experience, because you had something else going on in your life that I didn't know till like 2 days ago. why was this the important part? Why was that the side you wanted to show America and beyond?
Yeah. So basically I grew up in Japan and Australia, as you mentioned, and there's very little LGBTQ representation there. I mean, gay marriage is not legal back home in Japan. And I mean, we're fighting for it, but it's not legal yet. And there's just a lot of backlash. So I didn't grow up, you know, with a lot of queer people around me or any representation. Any type of representation that I saw in the media was very much kind of cliched, you know, kind of a lot of like, just a lot of sissy guys and like not a lot of varied representation. I never saw a woman who was gay and or queer represented anywhere. And so I just wanted to, you know, kind of be that face and that voice that kind of represents that, to be like, hey, we're out here, you know, doing our own thing, you know, being who we are. And it's like, it's okay. Like we're all here and that's all that matters. I never saw that growing up. And I think that had a lot to do with, I didn't come out until very late into the game. And I think that really impacted my sense of like how I see myself, how I perceive myself and what I thought of myself.
Amen. 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 I too was on a very similar journey.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously this podcast is almost 5 years old. I can't believe it.
Wow. But
I mentioned that on the show too. And like this podcast gives a voice to a sector of our community that often doesn't have a voice, especially if you're behind the line in kitchens, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And then during the show, I remember having a conversation with Anthony on film that didn't make it, but it's okay. About just being like, you know, I'm not only Latino, but I'm one of the few queer Latino voices in food out there.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm here giving a voice or trying to give a voice to people out there that don't have a voice. And I go, I would have lived to see somebody like me on television.
Yeah.
You know, we all can't be the Kardashians or whomever.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, some young person is going to see me and be like, oh my God, he reminds me of me.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And then I also mentioned like homeless youth statistics on the show too. And obviously that's, although they're important to know, I'm sure like this is a happy-go-lucky show. So they're like, oh, yeah, it's important, but let's cut that.
Yeah.
But like, you know, 28% of youth out there, homeless youth, are identify as LGBTQ youth. And something like 39% of it, and I don't know how that these percentages work, but these are actual facts.
Right.
You can look them up. Those people, those youth identify are trans or non-binary.
Yeah.
39, it's like 36 to 39%?
Crazy.
What?
Yeah. Crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, insane. It makes sense because, you know, they get kicked out or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
or
they
don't feel safe or or whatnot. And so
exactly.
To be that representation on a mainstream show that is now top 10.
Yeah.
Right. So that means it's important. I'm not just saying it to like say that we're top 10, but it's just like it's important because
exactly
the visibility of that is important because somebody's Midwestern mom sees me.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's, you know, unaccepting aunt sees you.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
And then it makes a little bit more sense
that you're.
And I hate saying this, that you're normal, because we are normal.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what that means? We are normal, but there's like, but it normal, like it normalizes it for them because they have this different opinion. They haven't been exposed to us in this way.
Yeah.
But we're just here, y'all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Before we cut out to the break, I want to talk about coming out because you touched on it for a second.
Yeah.
And I would love to hear your coming out story if you'd like to share it.
Yeah.
You know, I always say our stories matter because we never know who's listening.
Yep. Yep. For sure. And I'm happy to share it. I think I mentioned that I didn't come out until I was basically like pretty old. I'm 35
pretty
now.
Pretty old, girl. Well, we don't talk ages here, but like, listen, this 42-year-old Latino skin is fresh, okay? So I'm not even going to guess, but you are fresh and young.
Oh, okay? Thank you. You're so sweet. But I didn't come out until like pretty much early into my 30s, I would say, or like very late 20s. And it was because I grew up in Japan and it just like, there's no visibility for people out there. Gay marriage is not legal. And I just didn't feel like it would be an advantage if I came out. And then I came here and I went to business school and I saw how, you know, there's like special like hiring, spots basically for like LGBTQ people within companies. And I was like, that's so cool that, you know, they try to basically hire people of all different races and backgrounds and, you know, experiences. And I just thought that was really, really great. So, yeah. Sorry, I don't know if I answered the question, but...
No, it's fine. No, you gave us a piece of your coming out story.
Yeah.
Right? What was the journey like for you in other aspects with family, with friends, you know?
Yeah, so... Yeah, I didn't come out till late. Basically, I didn't come out to my mom until I started dating my current wife. So yeah, that was like a short while ago, probably like 5 years. And I came out to her, and my wife had basically had this experience of she was dating someone like before she met me, and then they hadn't like fully come out to their parents and she had a hard time and she just didn't want to do that. So she was like, you know what? Like, I need you to be out. Like, what's your story? You know, can you come out if you're not out, whatever. And then I was like, okay, sure. And then she was like, what? That's so weird. But I was like, okay, well, I mean, like I should. So yeah, then I just called my mom and I just told her that I was dating this amazing woman. And yeah, that was that. So yeah, that was that. I mean, there's some people in my family, like my dad, that has been very unaccepting and like, I don't really talk to him anymore. But you know, that's kind of something that I've had to kind of give up just because there's other things in my life now that I value and that are really, really important to me. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. First and foremost, thank you for sharing and letting me be a keeper of your story and entrusting me with that.
Of course. Thank you for listening.
It's always very special to hear everyone's coming out stories. I always say we also don't qualify stories on this podcast because everybody's journey is different, you know? And we don't know who we can touch out there with our journeys, with somebody else who's going through the same thing, you know? And sometimes family comes around and sometimes family doesn't come around. And as cliche and RuPaul as it is, just because RuPaul is famous, right? But a lot of us has been saying this for a long time too. We as LGBTQ people are really lucky because for those of us that are lucky enough to have family that we've kept, great. But we also get to choose a family that we surround ourselves with, you know?
Exactly.
And yeah. And that's also really, really, really special.
Yeah, totally.
So thank you. I think that's a great place to take a break.
Amazing.
Amazing. Anna and I are going to go pour ourselves a mimosa because it's brunch time and I'm starving.
Yeah.
And we're going to come back with my favorite part and y'all's favorite part of the podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, Anna, I hope you're ready for my favorite part and the audience's favorite part of the podcast. A little something we like to call food news update.
Yay.
Food news, honey. You ain't ready, girl. Spill the tea.
News update.
McDonald's Halloween pails are officially returning. Were you ever a McDonald's kid?
I was, yeah.
Do you remember the Halloween pails from like the 80s, 90s that they used to sell? It was like when Halloween came around, they instead of the Happy Meal box, you used to get...
Oh, really?
They
probably didn't do that in Japan because Halloween was like not a thing until like 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that part. Darn it.
But that sounds cool. I think I would have liked that.
So basically, well, let me explain this to you, at least here. I didn't think about that. Oh, well, aren't I just in a pickle? No. No, so McDonald's would trade out back in the day the Happy Meal boxes for these round plastic. They weren't big, but they were these round plastic buckets. And there was one that was a ghost, one that was a witch,
cute.
And one that was a pumpkin.
Okay.
You know, and they were just a plastic bucket. Yeah. It wasn't anything special. But that's where your Happy Meal came in with the toy. And then then you would use it to go trick-or-treating.
Right. Oh, fun.
So they discontinued them, but I think they've come back again here or there.
Oh, yeah?
They first launched in the 80s, but haven't been on the menu in 6 years. And so now they're back.
Wow.
Now they're back, right? And
they're back.
It's called McBoo, McPumpkin, and McGoblin.
McBoo.
McBoo, yeah.
That's
you
my
know
favorite.
What? I need a McBoo.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah. So the pails may have vanished for a while, but that didn't stop you from finding clever ways to keep their spooky spirit alive. And McDonald's is also on a soapbox of repurposing them. So like they've paired with all these influencers to show like outfit of the day, using it as an accessory,
fun.
Using it as planters, crafting it into something else. So like they can repurpose it. I think though someone on Today Food or someone somewhere was like, this, although this may be nostalgic, it's not worth it.
Oh.
Yeah, like, whoa. I don't know. I don't eat. Are you a McQueen? I'm sure you're a McQueen. But are you a fast food queen?
No.
Do we eat a lot of fast food?
No, I have a lot of dietary restrictions, so I can't. I don't take gluten, so it's like I can't have a burger because they're not gluten free.
Well, there goes that.
Yeah.
There goes that. No, I can't tell you the last time I had anything fast food, although I've been craving Jollibee, but you can't have that either.
No.
Delicious. But yeah, I can't tell you when the last time I had fast food. I did order fast food for when I babysat my niece and nephew recently. They wanted McDonald's.
Mm.
And my niece has a lot of allergies, seeds, nuts, all nuts, all seeds,
wow,
like coconut, anything. And I turned to them and I go, are you allowed to have McDonald's? And they're like, yeah, we have it all the time. And my niece ordered a McFish. And I was like, what little kid orders a McFish?
Right, right.
But and here I am thinking it's safe. And I guess there was some cross-contamination from a sesame seed that she got like itchy. And so my my sister-in-law got home and she's like, what happened? And I go, I thought we were safe. And she goes, we usually are safe. We order McDonald's all the time because I was panicking.
Right. Yeah. As you know? Would. Yeah.
She was fine. It was very light. It was very light. Thank heavens. But she goes, no. We order, like, they get McDonald's. It's usually safe. This is really weird that this happened.
Right. Wow. Here. Interesting.
So yeah, we're celebrating Halloween with these pails, but I don't know if we're here for the fast food of it all. I mean, there's another fast food headline coming in a minute. I'm here for the nostalgia. I thought it would be cute because it's Halloween related, and I'm here for the nostalgia.
Yeah, totally.
This honey made in a Brooklyn cemetery is probably not haunted.
Sounds so weird.
I picked this one because it's a double whammy here.
Yeah.
It's not only Brooklyn related, but it's Halloween related too. So I'm born and raised in Brooklyn, and you live in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So jars of sweet hereafter, which I love.
Oh
gosh.
Oh my God.
Honey made at Greenwood Cemetery are available on site and in limited quantities for a short window each year. I love this. Where in Brooklyn are you?
So I live in Crown Heights.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So Greenwood Cemetery is kind of like in that Sunset Park, Park Slope area. It's, I think it's one of the largest cemeteries. Have you ever been? It's stunning.
I've probably been there.
It's stunning. They do movie nights there, which is, people think is weird, but they do a lot of different things in the cemetery. A lot of famous people are built there. A lot of famous people are buried there.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that there's an apiary there with honeybees.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
I didn't know that either.
It's fairly recent. This will be the third year that the cemetery has produced its cleverly named Sweet Hereafter Honey, which is only available on site each fall. The honey has developed a cult following amongst Brooklyn residents and even people from further afield who jump at the opportunity to buy jars of honey with such a vivid, slightly ghoulish backstory.
Cool.
Yeah, so I love this because, you know, the cemetery, which doubles as a lush 478-acre class two arboretum, which would be the ideal setup for beehives in the city. Wait, are the numbers of they have nearly 8,000 trees to choose from and thousands of flowers. So the honey every year tastes different depending on
what
the
bees. That's so cool.
Isn't that really awesome?
Yeah, that's really nice.
Now I want to like meet you at Greenwood Cemetery and fight people and like bring a bat or something to fight people off
No.
for, for honey. I'm not bringing a bat. I'm not here for violence.
I was like, you'll get attacked by the bees.
Right? No, the other thing is that the guy who's Greenwood has brought in to do this are, what kind of bees are they? Hold on. Oh, yeah. So Larson explains that since the hives are in a public place, he purposely picked Carniolan honeybees for their docile nature.
Ooh.
They just couldn't be friendlier. They almost never sting me, he says. I don't even wear a suit half the time, although they are very moody animals. If it's recently rained or about to rain, they can pretty pissy.
Pretty pissy.
Yeah, they are. I think they're from Georgia. Of course, southern bees are Georgian, you know. I mean, of course, southern bees are like nice until it's like bad weather,
right?
I love this.
I love this.
And you know, we need the bees. The bees are in danger.
Yeah.
You know, and so anything they can do to like kind of foster this you know, the bee community and whatnot. I love everything about it. Plus, like, the cemetery itself is so beautiful. If you're ever in New York City, please, and like you know, like off the beaten path things aren't like, you know, normal tourist mm-hmm. adventure stuff. You want to go on. I highly recommend the Greenwood Cemetery because it's just, you can get your exercise in there. There's a lot of people buried there. There's so much history and so many really cool things to see there as well, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So like they produce, and my last fact here is, they aren't sure how many jars of raw honey they produce since they just fill them and sell them as fast as they can. But they estimate that last year they harvested a good 200 pounds of liquid gold.
Wow. That's impressive. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And who knew? I love that. It's something local that we both didn't even know.
Yeah.
About.
No, that's cool. I want to buy it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to find out. Maybe because of this, we'll get a special job.
Yeah.
We are totally here for this. And last but not least, for sure, Burger King wants to help you check your house for ghosts. Ooh.
Oh. Sounds weird.
I think we need to start with, do you believe in ghosts?
I do, actually.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm a full believer.
Yeah.
Have you had a ghost experience?
I have, well, I guess I have. This is such a weird story, but after the dog, my childhood dog passed, he came and visited me like a few years later. And I just remember I was in like this, you know, that state in between like waking and sleeping. It's kind of like lucid. And he like came in through the window and then he like ran across my body and I was in the bed. And then he just like went away. And I remember thinking, Milo, I know that's you. I was like, Milo.
Yeah, I live in an old what used to be an old hotel.
Ooh, that sounds spooky.
Yeah. So sometimes I have like the draft covers from under the door. I used to have one of those like hard, you know, those balls that are like tennis balls, but they're hard. They're for like reflexology. Like, mm-hmm. Right. My floors are pretty level and that ball just kind of like lives on the floor in a corner or wherever it just lands after I kick it someplace. And every so often it'll just roll across the floor.
Wow.
You know? And I'll be like, hey, how are you?
How's it going? You know?
I have this picture, my grandmother's wedding picture up on the wall. And I think it's from 1922, 25. Mm-hmm. It's well over 100 years old.
Wow.
On the wall. And every so often, I'll get whiffs of her perfume.
Oh, that's so amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Wow.
It's
crazy. She's like, I'm here. I'm looking at you.
I'm watching you sleep with random boys in this apartment. was that really the best choice?
Wow. Well,
or grandma's like, get it, honey, get it.
Yes, queen.
Oh my God. Well, Burger King apparently, it's so funny. Burger King does everything. I should say, Burger King does something every year for Halloween. You know, all these brands and whatnot have to like show up and show out. But if you go to the Burger King app and you're part of their like perks member, mm-hmm. which I've never met anybody, but I guess people are,
yeah.
you can access a ghost detector through their app, which measures electromagnetic fields to help you determine whether there's anything paranormal going on in your house. The company didn't claim that it was accurate, so take any of these right. results with a grain of salt. But in reality, the purpose of the ghost detector is to unlock the meal deal for this new ghost pepper whopper, which features an orange bun, spicy queso, bacon, jalapenos, and ghost pepper cheese.
Huh.
Yeah, and black and orange sesame seeds. Oh. It kind of sounds good.
Yeah,
I love a hamburger.
Yeah, I love hamburgers too.
And I love spicy things. So mm-hmm. like I'm here for this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know?
Yeah, I was like, I'll try that.
You know what? I'm here for the ghosts. I'm here for a burger. And yeah. I think that's the best way to end.
Mm-hmm.
Food news update.
Thank you.
I can't wait for you to tell your wife. You're going to be like, I just did the craziest thing with this crazy person.
No, I was like, he's so sweet and cute.
Oh my God. Did you watch the whole series of Easy Bake Through? Be honest.
Not yet. Okay. There's a couple I haven't watched.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, I have. Mm-hmm. I have. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great because I wanted to be supportive. But I know a lot of people that haven't. Like a lot of my friends, shady friends, were like, I just saw what you did.
Yeah.
And I don't need to watch anymore. And I was like, well, no, you need to watch because actually it's really good. I loved Anna, Pam, Giselle and I are tight, mm-hmm. my Latina sister. You know, I just did a live with Andy Burrell.
Oh, cool.
You know, so that's really, really, just really fun.
Yeah.
And really interesting to see everybody's journey on the thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Were with no spoilers,
mm-hmm.
were you happy with how you were portrayed and what happened?
I was happy with how I was portrayed. I was not too happy with how it went. Just because I felt like I felt like I didn't have enough time, but I feel like that's kind of everyone's story.
It's very real. When they say go,
yeah.
and that clock starts.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
it's, we need to tell the audience, and I've said it before, there is no stopping. You don't stop.
There's no stopping. Also, there's no like clocks or anything that marks the time anywhere. And they tell us to take off our watches. So I was like, how many minutes left? And they're like, you have 20 minutes left. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah, that also was cut a bunch, obviously, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But I was one of the ones that kept being like, how much time? And someone would scream it back at me. How much time?
Yeah.
And they were like, we just said this. And I was like, I don't care. I need to know.
Yeah, no. That's smart.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
It's crazy, crazy, crazy.
It is.
If I was very happy with everything that happened, but you know, no regrets. Do you have any regrets?
No regrets.
No, I don't have any regrets either. I will say that if I had my druthers, money mm-hmm. aside, whether I won the money or I didn't win the money, you mm-hmm. have to watch to find out. Money aside, I think if I had to change one thing, I would have edited an exit interview in for me.
Because
I didn't get an exit interview.
Really?
And it, And when you watch, did you not watch my episode?
No, I watched your episode. Maybe I'm not remembering.
No. There was, it's been a while now too.
Yeah.
And that was like 2 weeks ago. So I don't blame you. But there was a, they did that like Queer Eye Antony thing where they pulled Haley aside and they're like, how are you feeling? What's next? Mm-hmm. Which I love Haley. No shade to Haley. Love, love, love her. All the more power to her. But like we had seen so much of Haley's story that we got it, that it was like kind of, it was kind of redundant.
Mm.
And I thought like later on in the episodes, a lot of people got exit interviews.
Mm.
And you know, as well as I do, after whatever happens, no matter if you win or lose, they sit you on that couch for hours.
Yeah.
Hours mm-hmm. to interview you.
Yeah.
And I thought I had really great, right? I gave him like full crying everything. And
oh,
so
wow.
I would have liked to see that, right?
Yeah,
right.
Totally.
But once again, I didn't need it. I'm so happy with the way I was portrayed and whatnot. Earlier, I made mention of a lot of things happening in your life,
mm-hmm.
and why you chose one story over another. Because In Your Mouth, listeners, you have to remember that, like, you know, this is still TV. Although we're competing and although the time is very real, we are being, you know, our stories are important and we're being prompted for that. And we're being asked all about being LGBTQ. And if we make that at the forefront of our being, you know, that's the story people want to tell. But there was something else going on in your life that I didn't find out till 2 days ago that I was like, wait, what? How did you even do this?
Yeah.
Would you mind sharing that with the audience?
Yeah, of course. So I actually had a brain tumor and I had it removed like earlier on in the year, but basically when we filmed the show, I still had the tumor in me. So all that cooking you see me doing, I was doing it with a brain tumor, which is insane.
Which is, how did you even manage?
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean,
I should start maybe because I personally don't have a lot of brain tumor knowledge here. I should start with how much was it affecting you mentally and physically?
So I think it was impacting me mentally and physically to an extent, but I didn't really notice that I had a brain tumor until like a while into it. I probably had it for at least like 3 or 4 years. But they don't date tumors, so you don't really know. But, you know, there were things that I was experiencing before I went on the show. Like if I looked at a blank like wall or something, I would see shadows or I would have, you know, numbness in my legs sometimes. And those were kind of the symptoms. But like, you don't think of like, you don't connect those things with like a brain tumor and you're like, oh, I have to go see like a neurologist. So I was going to see all these doctors, but then they wouldn't give me, they would kind of try to treat me and some were like, maybe you're depressed, whatever. And, you know, so it's been a bit of a journey, but I'm just glad that I found out. I found out because I went to the eye doctor to get a pair of glasses. And then they were like, there's all these things coming up on your eye chart. Like, this is really weird that you need to go to the ER. And then I went to the ER and they're like, there's a tumor in your brain. Crazy.
So what made you make the decision to be like, well, I have a brain tumor, but I'm going to go do this.
So I didn't know that I had a brain tumor until after the show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. So when I was on the show, I had no idea. And I was just like cooking all this stuff. And I was like, I'm going to do great. And then I left the show. And then, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's, well, first and foremost, I'm sure I could speak for everyone and say that we are happy you are on the mend.
Thank you. Healthy
and here with us and looking stunning.
Thank you.
And hopefully feeling stunning as well. We are happy you're here. Your light shines through on the television.
The minute
I saw you, I was like, who is this? Aww. I need her in my life.
Thank you.
But that's, so no wonder that wasn't part of the journey because you didn't even know.
I didn't know.
Now we got it. Now
exactly.
Listen, look at me being Dr. Sherlock Holmes over here.
It's crazy.
My God.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. What a crazy, crazy, crazy journey. Wow. Wow, yeah. Anna. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, this episode's just been a good reminder that I can do anything. You know, I cooked a meal with like a crazy theme, even with a brain tumor. So it's
under high pressure.
Oh yeah, totally. So I just, you know, it's a great reminder for me just to be like, you know what? I can do anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. When I similarly, to you that when, so the, going back to the long COVID, and I think it was also anxiety related that, and it still happens. I can see it now that at one point all my vision was clouded with floaters.
Mm. Oh, geez.
And we couldn't figure it out. We couldn't figure it out. And they're still, they come and go. They're still here. Like now that I'm talking about it, I can see them. But at one point, I got referred to a neuro-ophthalmologist, which I didn't realize was even a thing. I was like, a who?
Yeah.
And they sent me for an MRI to do this whole brain thing as well.
Yeah.
And she was fantastic. Oh, my God. One of the best doctors I've ever been to. Ever been to in my life. Because she said, it's just one of the, it's the care in healthcare.
Yeah.
And she sat there and she was so, so kind and so like as fun as a doctor can be, but she was just like really nice. And she was like, okay, Michael, well, what about this? What about this? Well, what about this? Okay. Well, this is this and it's not this. Okay. Well, we did this and we ruled out that. She goes, you know what? I just think this is just going to go away because all you are the, so healthy and everything is this. So I think it's just a piece of longevity of this COVID and maybe exacerbated by, you know, the anxiety that has come from this. Mm-hmm. So I can slightly, ever so minusculely relate to a brain journey because like that was a little bit of a scary moment.
Yeah,
too,
yeah. I'm sure. I mean, I feel like anything related to the brain is kind of scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's we are so happy you are well.
Thank you.
You know, what's next for you?
So I'm still on my healing journey. So when they took out the brain tumor, there's basically like some parts of my short-term memory that were impacted. So I'm still having a bit of a hard time remembering certain things. So I haven't been working since February. And we're just kind of taking it easy and slow. I have recovered quite a bit though. So I'm just going to continue recovering, you know, continue cooking. Cooking was also like something that was hard for me when I came out of the hospital because I just couldn't remember like what ingredients I had put in or, you know, what seasonings I had used because my memory was so fraught. But now it's getting better. So I want to get back into the cooking game and yeah, I just want to like share what I can with all my followers and yeah, just keep living.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Wait, are you going on the honeymoon?
Not yet. We're going to see how I recover with my condition. Okay. Yeah, we just didn't want to be away.
Yes. Yeah. In Your Mouth listeners, part of the storyline as well was that Anna wants to take her beautiful wife on this honeymoon. And so we like, I'm sure those of you out there who have watched, I'm sure that's a pressing question on your mind. And obviously we want Anna to be safe and healthy so that way she can enjoy that time with her wife as well.
Thank you.
You know, where would it be when you finally do go?
So we're thinking of going to Machu Picchu.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yes. I haven't been, but I love Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Have you seen a random Mexico moment?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that, like, was it a TikTok, a YouTube or something, an Instagram? It's these two gay guys, right, driving through Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they just like crossed the border and were driving through Mexico to like Cancun to visit somebody's mother, to visit one of their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
But they drive through cartel country.
No.
And then all of a sudden, Like, so Mexico isn't a place like America where you can just road trip, you know, apparently. And I didn't realize that. So the cartel rolls up on them with guns and things.
No way. That's so scary.
And pulls them over. And they're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And they were like, we don't speak Spanish. And he's crying and he's hyperventilating. But the cameras are on. They put the cameras on. But you can't see the men. But you do see the guns. And you see them, like, kind of roll up on them from every... It's like a movie, and they're crying. And then the funny thing is that the guys from the cartel are like, don't worry, breathe, you're fine. You're fine. Who are you? And what are you doing here?
Right.
They were like, no, mama, he's trying to tell my mama, I'm driving to see Cancun.
Right.
And they were like, and then you hear them in Spanish being like, oh, these two people obviously aren't from here, don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're literally, because you can see they're shaking and terrified and crying, trying to get, like, they're just driving to see their mother.
Yikes. Oh, my gosh.
Crazy. My That's brother so showed horrifying. That to me. I was like, this is the crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
Crazy. Look that up. It's crazy to watch.
Okay.
Like, the internet's
it's wild. Crazy. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Well, it's been a joy spending the morning with you.
Thank you.
I love that we are connected.
Yes.
Right? Listen, when you are ready and willing, let's go have a little bit of brunch someplace or a little meal.
Yeah.
I
need to taste your cooking. So well, we need to make that happen.
Yes, that too, right? Out of my 120 square feet.
I mean, you can come over here and you can cook for us.
We could do a cook. Let's give the kids all the handles. Give them your Instagram or wherever they can find you, please.
So my Instagram is at @thelipstickchef_. Don't forget the underscore. So you can follow me there.
Great. And then you also have a website, thelipstickchef.net.
Yeah.
All right. You could find her there and all of her information on that as well. We love you. We stan. I'm just so happy and thankful that you're able to be here, that you're on the mend and getting better as each day goes by.
Yeah.
I am so happy that we are connected here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you enough for spending the day with me and just giving me of your time today.
Thank you. Same here. Thanks so much.
Yes. In Your Mouth, listeners, what a great day it's been. If you're going out for Halloween, folks, and also, oh my God, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And that's all I can sing of it because I don't own the rights. happy birthday.
Thank you. Happy birthday
to you. If you're going out for Halloween, Anna, you be safe. But like In Your Mouth, listeners, especially the homosexuals out there who love a lot of gay nonsense, please be safe.
Yeah.
Please be safe. Be aware of your surroundings. Drink responsibly. Bring that one friend who may be a little bit of a Debbie Downer, but at least is the responsible one.
Yeah.
Bring the mom. Bring the mom of your friends. I'm usually the mom. Right? You know, just be safe out there. And if you're in P-Town this week, please say hi. Please. I love meeting all of you out there. A bunch of you, especially at New York Wine and Food Fest, came out and said hi. I'm very approachable. Take all the pictures, do all the things, you know. But most importantly, have a very safe and happy Halloween if you celebrate or whatever you're doing out there this coming weekend. We really want, you know, our community to take care of each other and have the best time, but also be safe doing that. And other than that, I think all Anna and I have to say is thank you for listening to In Your